I believe
that.
All right, we get the point. Ray Brewer definitely on one of his rants today about the crowd participation at high school football, kind of the new trendy one that we've heard this season, the I believe that we can win chant, which personally I always thought was more of a basketball thing, but apparently it's taken over the gridiron this football season.
Yeah, started presumably by San Diego State or Utah State in college basketball. And making its way onto the Las Vegas High School gridiron. Kiefer, I love when people get involved. I like the "We ready, we ready for y'all." I like that. And I obviously love the haka, but those are for the players. And I got to give the kids credit, even though it was something they've picked up from college teams. I just love when kids are jumping around singing that song. I got to give Gorman props for its game on TV 2 weeks ago against Armwood. They probably had 500 kids there, all in orange, all jumping around at the end of that song, and it was really, really cool. Unfortunately, the efforts at Palo Verde and Centennial, not as impressive. Problem being is, one, the Gorman field at Fertitta Field, the stands are right there. It's like stands rail field. At Gorman and Centennial, you've got the track, and so there's not as many kids, and they're not that close to the field, and then not all the kids are participating. You've got like a loyal 20 kids doing it, and then all the other kids are just kind of standing there, and it kind of ruins the song. Now, nothing against the kids for participating, but at Centennial on Friday, I was there for the Vegas game. I couldn't even hear them. Nobody could hear them. It was like, is somebody cheering? And obviously, they could have used it because Centennial loses at the end. So, good job. Love the song, but Palo Centennial, get a few more kids out there, plan the effort a little better, and see what you could do.
So do you rank the I Believe below the We Ready? I mean, I know that's like your favorite one.
Well, again, the We Ready is just for the players.
Yeah, so it's kind of different. But, I mean, if you only have to go with one, I think you are going with the We Ready.
I don't know. I really like this I Believe song.
If
done properly. I will tell you, folks, Case Kiefer did not want to lead the show with the I Believe song.
Well, no, I was better when you started it. I'm not a big fan of these things. I think they're cool for like one or two people, and then everyone jumps on the bandwagon. It's my same recurring issue with the holding up the fours, which I bring up every week.
would you do the haka if trained properly?
See, that's the same thing with the haka. I'm glad you're like figuring me out. Finally, we've been doing this podcast for 2 years. I love all these things for like one or two schools. Like, make it your trademark. You do it. But then when everyone else jumps on the bandwagon, it's just like just overload.
The haka is strictly for Liberty. Obviously, they've got several Polynesians on the team. The dance gets them fired up, and it's a good time. No
yeah,
doubt.
I love it, and I one of my favorite TV shows that's now off. You don't watch Friday Night Lights, but on Friday Night Lights, there's an episode where the kids start doing the haka, and the coach walks up and he's like, "What in the heck is this?" And they're like, "Oh, it's an island warrior dance." And he goes, "No, we are not doing this." It was hilarious because it's exactly my rant. Liberty can do it. No one else, in my opinion, can do the haka.
Which is weird because I love high school football. Obviously, my passion. If people know me, I've never watched 1 minute of Friday Night Lights.
Well, there you go. You can see the haka, too, for about 5 seconds.
Okay, now, do you remember, this might be a little old, Where Are My Dogs At? Was that ever? Did anybody
Oh,
ever?
Yeah, yeah. I think my high school, actually, in 2001, won the state championship, and they always, like, got in a group and...
Where are my dogs
yeah,
at?
did that exactly. So, yeah, that's, I mean...
That's old school.
God, I can't believe it. That's a decade old now.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, wow.
What about, did any schools, and this is probably dates me a little bit, did anybody do the Macarena to get fired up?
I highly doubt it. I don't know. That was a little bit before my time. I was a little too young back then, but I could tell you when I was playing youth football, when the Macarena was popular, I did not see anyone doing that to get fired up.
Okay. Friday night, Case, I go to the Centennial Vegas game, and Centennial, one of the underrated gems in Las Vegas high school football. What a beautiful facility. It overlooks a lot of the valley. It's kept up well. They get a lot of folks from the community to come in and support the school. And they run out. They've got one of these little tent things you blow up that you run out under. What's it called? You know what I'm talking about? It's
the tunnel like thing.
Yeah, they got a tunnel thing that's blowing up. I believe Legacy also has a tunnel that's blowing up. And I thought that was an added insight. I liked it. You know, I also like when Basic comes out for a game, they kind of walk holding arms from the locker room into the field, and they kind of run out. Another great tradition. But I'm telling you, I love the We Ready song. I don't know if it's going to be a trend that continues past this year, but I really think if you get a lot of kids involved, it's a great way to start a game, especially if you're on close to the field like at Gorman.
Yeah, there you go. And of course, like you said, Centennial, they gave some of these things a try. We got to talk about that game, because I think it was the game of the week last week. It was our game of the week, literally, but it also ended up being went into overtime. Centennial ultimately falls to Las Vegas. But I think it's kind of a preview of how good Centennial is and how competitive this whole Northwest Division is going to be.
It really is. And Centennial last year, if they would have lost this game, where they dominated Vegas for the first half, and then the second half they came out a little slow, and Vegas got a big run at the end to win the game, but Centennial came down and drove down to like the 10 and couldn't get it in. Last year this happens, moral victory all the way around, sign of good things to come, Centennial's ready to go. This year, devastation. First game of the year, Centennial's a lot better than a lot of folks give them credit for. They've got some big physical players. Jacoby Owens ran the ball case 40 times, man. And Centennial devastated because they lost. And I was talking afterwards to Coach Evans, and I'm like, you know what, bro? This is like an indication that you guys have kind of turned the corner, because I think last year or in the years past, if you put up a good effort like this against Vegas, which is a perennial power, then you're like, you know what? Good things will come. We could shore some things up. We're ready to rock and roll. Not the case. Centennial has high expectations. And with that, I think it makes them one of the top eight teams in town.
The problem is, though, they are one of the top eight teams in town, but they definitely have two more teams in that division that are also in there. So it's kind of hard to see if you're just looking at it objectively, Centennial finishing higher than third. And, I mean, there's even some teams that are threatening in the Northwest below that. Do you think the Northwest has returned this year and it's by far going to be the best division once we get in the middle of this season?
Well, I think the Northwest is definitely the best division. I know going into the year we thought it was the Southeast, the Henderson based league, that would be the best, but you know, Liberty is not been like we thought Liberty would be. They're awful defensively right now. Silverado lost the Bonanza in the shock of all shocks, and you know, Basic got beat up pretty good by Cimarron, even though they recovered nicely last week against Rancho. But you got the Northwest, and they're so good. Palo Verde perennial power has only lost one league game since like 06 or 07, right? Arborview gave Palo a run for its money, dominated in parts of the game, barely lost. Last year went to the state semis. Centennial last year went to the Sunset semis. Big, physical, nasty. And Cimarron's been playing great. You know, they've got some good players, and, you know, Damari Williams and Taz, Taya Boho, I can't say any Polynesian name, and I've always liked the quarterback Gerard Martinez. So there's four elite teams right there, and then you got teams like Cheyenne, which used to be a power. They're 1-0. Legacy, who I still think has a good chance, and I think you've got six teams right there that probably match up well against everybody they play on Friday nights.
Yeah, here's my thing. Of course, Palo Verde and Arborview also played last week. We should recap that. Palo won a 14-7 game that really went down to the wire. Arborview had the ball, I believe, almost inside the red zone or right outside of the red zone to end the game, and ultimately lost. But I think maybe me and you and everyone are kind of expecting Palo Verde and Arborview to run the table from here on out. I look at the depth of this conference, and I think that that would be a mistake. I think that these two teams are going to run into some adversity, and I don't necessarily see them going a combined 16-0 or whatever the rest of the way.
Well, after Palo won, I wrote that I think Palo Verde basically won the league, which was odd because it was the first day in September, the fourth day of school, but I don't see anybody challenging Palo Verde the rest of the way. Now, the reason I'll be proven wrong on this is, one, Centennial's pretty good. Okay, they had a great game against Vegas. They just couldn't contain Pharrell Victor. Pharrell Victor proved me wrong. I said the kid didn't have breakaway speed, and he looked like a roadrunner, dude, racing to the end zone. Nobody could catch him. But Palo Verde, they're not good offensively, bro. Right now, they're just not a good team. They don't have that elite runner like they had last year with Brandon Wright, who could just you know, turn up field and get you some yardage. And it might have looked that way in week one against Canyon Springs, but last week against a good Arborview team, they had a hard time getting some yards. And, you know, right now the passing game was – it's always pretty much, you know, it's in Paolo's back pocket, but they're only going to throw it out when they need it. I don't think they could have had success in the passing game against Arborview, and their runners just weren't getting enough yards. And if that Paolo team shows up against the Centennial – they're going to have some problems. Now, I know Paolo's a printer of power, and I know Paolo has done more than its share to prove that it's an elite team in this city. But if they play like they did Thursday offensively, I just don't see it happening. Now, defensively, lights out, bro. They were great defensively. They penetrated that Arborview line more than one occasion. Arborview had basically one long run to get it going. Other than that, they, you know, Roger Keeson had a nice day, 100-plus yards, but you really never felt threatened that they would score.
Yeah, I think you mentioned what I was really impressed with, and that was Paolo's line. After seeing Arborview in week one, the thing I came away with was I thought they were just great in the trenches, and Paolo made them look kind of silly there. So I think that speaks to how good Paolo is up front. You keep mentioning Centennial as the team to challenge these two. I got to tell you, I really like Cimarron. I think Cimarron could be the third best team in this league. I think it's possible.
Well, I had Faith Lutheran at +9 last week?
Okay, well, yeah.
So I'm up five imaginary dollars right
no,
now.
I actually brought the $5 to pay you on the podcast.
Yes!
And I left it at my desk.
No way.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So I...
some double-doubles for lunch.
Yeah, I failed.
Real fast, just talking food. Folks, we go home or to the office. We go cover a game Friday night. And then we head back to our computers and we make phone calls on like 7 or so games each. Are you eating during those phone calls?
Some of them. Usually.
I'm in a nasty pattern, bro.
Well, I mean, you have to.
I mean, but it's awful to eat before bed because I made phone calls from home last week in basically my kitchen. And there was like a bag of Doritos I piled into. I made like a turkey sandwich. My wife had made some kind of like sweet bread type of thing with like raisins and stuff. I almost had like a quarter of that. And I'm sitting there. I get to bed like at 3 o'clock, bro. And I felt like I just ate the GVR buffet. I was packed. Right? And I'm making these. Have you ever had a waffle sandwich before?
A waffle sandwich?
Like Eggos?
I've had Eggos, but never a waffle sandwich.
Oh my God.
Sounds interesting.
So I go two crispy waffles, piece of smoked turkey, piece of ham, piece of low-fat mozzarella, piece of ham, piece of turkey cut in half. I went back for two of those. Then I had the Doritos. I drank like a gallon of Gatorade, all while making phone calls.
I don't even know what to say.
Totally
this
off-topic.
This is not a topic I expected to come up today, but there you go. For all the coaches listening, now you know when you hear Ray Brewer chomping down his food, you know he's eating waffle sandwiches when he calls you on Friday night.
Yes, yes.
Good stuff there.
But back to Cimarron Centennial. Dude,
yeah.
Centennial is – listen, Cimarron has got some good players. They're a lot better. DeMarla Lewis, Damare Williams, the Taz kid who I can't say his last name. The Martinez kid is very reliable at quarterback. I don't know, though, if Cimarron is big and physical up front to handle Centennial. You are underestimating Centennial. They are big and physical.
No, I really like Centennial. I think that
if
they are in any other league, I think they're the second best team in town. But in their division now, in my kind of I picked them third at the beginning of the year. Now that I kind of see how things playing out, I'm picking them fourth.
It'll be a close game with Cimarron, but I will tell you what, Cimarron is going to be bruised against Paolo, Arbor, and the Bulldogs of Centennial, just because those are three physical teams, and Cimarron doesn't have that physicality right now. Nice story. They're 2-0.
I don't know that they don't have that physicality, because the whole theme over there supposedly is that they're getting back to their roots and playing more physical. So I guess you're saying the stories out of there, the reports are inaccurate? That's what it sounds like to me.
No, I'm just saying that they've been proven against Basic, who typically isn't a physical team. Sorry, Basic fans, I still love you. And against Mojave, which has been to the playoffs once since 1996. Okay?
The same.
It's like the Pirates are in first place. My Pirates are the Central. They've beaten the Cubs and the Astros. What happens when they play Milwaukee?
All right, well, here's what I want to say. This is the same basic team that went and beat Rancho 42-0. You're singing the praises when Rancho outgained your beloved Del Sol Dragons, whatever they are.
I'm telling you, Del Sol's going to be playing on Thanksgiving. Mark my words.
All right, well, I'm just going to say that as high as you were on Del Sol, you have to be impressed with what Basic did last week. They beat Rancho up totally. Del Sol struggled with Rancho. Rancho had more yards than Del Sol.
How come Basic couldn't get 100 yards against Cimarron?
Because Cimarron's that good. This is going back to my point. My point is coming right back. You're contradicting yourself. That's because Cimarron is that good.
Listen, Cimarron is going to, at best, take fourth in that league and get killed by Gorman in the first round of the playoffs. Now, I'm interested to see, are they even going to get past Chi-Town? I got a text message.
This should be a good game.
On Friday, it's Thursday night, Chi-Town Cimarron. I got a text message Friday that said, Tyler Spite is the truth. Now, what does that mean?
He's really good at football.
Then he's the truth. So is Cimarron going to beat Tyler Spite? Which, by the way, I forgot to pick that on our picks. I got to go back.
They got Damare Williams. I'll take Damare Williams.
I'm going to take Tyler Spite. I'm going right now. Upset City. Give me Chi-Town. Tyler Spite over Cimarron. And if Cimarron wins convincingly, then we could put him in the same breath as Centennial and Arborview.
Okay, I don't think Cimarron wins convincingly. It depends what you mean convincingly. I think they win a touchdown, 10 points, something like that. But I definitely like Cimarron in the Thursday night game. It's the first game of the week this week, and I think going to be probably one of the best. Because looking at the slate overall, me and you, we only have one different pick for the rest of the games this week. Kind of looks like things are evening out, and there's
good
more
minds think alike.
Yeah, there's more lopsided games this week than we've seen in the first two, in my opinion.
Okay, well, let's run through them real fast. Well, first of all, what game are we different on?
We're different on Clark and Spring Valley, so tell me who you got and why do you like them?
That game is one of the gimmies.
I doubt it.
Bro, I've seen both teams practice, and I'm just helping you out right now. Spring Valley's got a hard time not getting injured. Clark has got a great player in Marquise McKinney. They handled the Western team fairly convincingly by 3+ touchdowns last week. I think this year Clark could squeak in and get that 4 spot in the Southwest. I think you've totally looked at that game wrong. I think Clark wins by at least 2 touchdowns, and I guarantee you that Marquise McKinney is going to be the best player on that field, and his brother might even get in the freshman and do some damage. Give me your opinion on Spring Valley.
Spring Valley, I think I look at them and I heard good things from their first game against Durango. I heard that the defense was really stout. They only give up 14 points, I think. I believe that one of Durango's touchdowns was special teams or an interception return.
Quarterback got hurt. They were
Who's their best players? Their best players are running backs, and they stuffed them. That's my number one. My number two
is
how many years in a row has Spring Valley beaten Clark?
Who cares? Dude. Who cares about that?
It does care, though, and you know, it does matter. One thing I heard straight from Clark coach Don Willis, he said he thinks it's gone this year, but he says, you don't understand how hard it is to break these kids of a mentality when they've lost to the same school for 15 years in a row, even though I know it's not that long for Spring Valley because Spring Valley hasn't been around that long. But he says, when you have that losing mentality, when you go down a couple scores to a team you've never beat, you start to doubt yourself, and I think that might happen with Clark here. I like Spring Valley in this game, and also I can't believe you're telling me Clark is going to make the playoffs. So you're telling me they're better than Bonanza?
I think it's going to be darn close.
No way. No way.
Okay, listen, I tell you what, though. For all the garbage I give you, I like your analysis of that game.
Yeah, well, I mean, it should be a good one. It's one of the better ones on the schedule.
Right.
We'll differ on that one. We'll jump to one we agree with, team I just mentioned, Bonanza and Sierra Vista. Are you back in Javion Taylor and the new look Bonanza Bengals here?
I can't believe I'm going to say Bonanza's 3-0. I mean, they lose their best player from last year.
Two best players,
yeah. Their quarterback, who was one of the best in town. Deshaun Martin, who probably had more offensive stats than anybody in town. And they're 3-0.
Yeah, didn't see that coming. I think this actually could be an okay game. Sierra Vista played Virgin Valley tough. I couldn't get the win, but I got to go Bonanza here. Kind of going to the top of that division, Durango hosts Gorman. Like you said, Durango's quarterback is hurt. They're playing Hunter Knight, who's a receiver at quarterback. That can't spell too good of a fortune against a team like Gorman, one of the best in the country.
They will. And the thing is that going into the season, I would have told you that either Desert Oasis or Durango would give Gorman the best challenge this year in league. Desert Oasis lost, what, 54-0 last week?
It's something like that, 52-56.
Okay, and then
56.
Durango got destroyed by Foothill up front. I mean, that line looked like Swiss cheese, all the holes, right? Well, now you throw Gorman's front up there on both sides, and what's going to happen, right? I mean, the Ari McQuaid kid gets all his yards by himself. Good luck. I mean, really, I think he's a good player, no doubt about it, but good luck. I mean, you're going to be running for your life. Okay, now I know that Durango has, you know, the Jermaine kid is physically built well. The McQuaid kid is physically built well. Up front, the Alex Viacek kid is looks the part. But put it all together, bro, and I think it's the same. I think everybody in this league, everybody in town, with the exception of probably Paolo and I know Arbor, when they line up against Gorman, it's like, please don't hit me that hard.
So do you like Durango to score here, or is it another shutout for that Gorman defense?
Well, see, here's the thing. Gorman's twos and threes against Durango's ones. I got 56-0, but they could score.
Well, I picked Desert Oasis to score like two touchdowns last week, just kind of wishful thinking because I think that Desert Oasis is pretty good and they didn't score any. So therefore, I can't pick Durango to score any points either. I'm going to shut out for Gorman. Finishing off the Southwest slate, two teams that kind of look like they're at the bottom, to say the least. Western and Pahrump Valley. Is this where Pahrump Valley gets off the schneid, finally wins a game?
It's been, what, 30 or so games for Pahrump, straight losses. They scored last week against Bonanza, and they scored last week in the first half. Western didn't look that good at all against Clark. If this game was at Pahrump, I might actually go with Pahrump, but I'm taking Western 15-12. It is going to be an absolute dogfight. Nobody wants to lose to Pahrump. But I think if there's a week they could do it, it's this week. I just don't see it happening. But if it did, I wouldn't be shocked. Confidence level, very low.
Confidence level for me is pretty low in this next game. Arborview and Centennial. I got to take Arborview. I think they're the better team. But if they have any kind of hangover or effects from their first two games, and obviously kind of the momentum-studding loss to Paolo last week, then Centennial's really going to give them troubles, because we both just talked about Centennial. You know we're both high on them. I got to go Arborview, but wouldn't be shocked if it went the other way.
I've got to go Arborview too, and I think that Arborview is an elite team in town this year. They showed it against Liberty. They are very – even though they lost to Paolo, they think they could have beat them, and they're fairly confident. They need to win this game to take second in the league. And when you're doing that, you're talking about who are you going to avoid in what round of the playoffs. So Arborview needs to win. If they do, mark it in, they play Gorman in the semis.
Quick fire here, Mojave and Palo Verde. I've got Palo Verde big, and I'm assuming you do too.
I do. Both schools opened in 96. They play for some jersey. Mojave's never held the jersey.
Some jersey then. Faith Lutheran and Legacy. Faith Lutheran, of course, like you said, you won your $5 bet last week, which I have on my desk, but I'm going to get right back October 1st when Del Sol loses to Liberty. But anyway, Faith Lutheran going to Legacy. Legacy, we both picked last week, and they lost to Cheyenne. Do they get back on track here, or is it another 0-2 start?
They have to. Faith Lutheran has got so many new people and key spots, and I really think Legacy's athleticism is going to present a problem.
I never should have made that bet. That's like going across the street and betting on a Sun Belt game. It was two teams I knew nothing about. I just figured Shadow Ridge made the playoffs last year, that they'd get the win. I was wrong. Apologies to Faith Lutheran. Better than I said last week. So let's jump to Shadow Ridge, who I'm very disappointed in. They have to make the trek to Mesquite, right? That's for Virgin Valley, Mesquite?
Yeah, not that far, actually.
Okay, not that far, but they do have to go to Mesquite to play Virgin Valley. I've got Virgin Valley here. I think that the Bulldogs are pretty good. Quarterback Umberto Urias is pretty underrated.
I think he is, and I think Virgin Valley has shown that they're, every bit as good as Moapa, who we've have man crushes on the last few weeks. But Virgin beat Valley, and Virgin beat Sierra Vista, obviously lower tier teams in the 4A, but they're impressive. I've got to give them credit.
Chaparral and Coronado. I didn't realize that Coronado had Chaparral this week. I think last week in the picks I said they were going to win one game all year. Now I'm kind of going to eat my words because I don't see Chaparral beating Coronado.
Yeah, Chaparral program is getting its feet wet under new coach Bill Frohman. Took it on the chin in Overton against Moapa Valley. And the bottom line is at this stage, Coronado, and I can't believe I'm using this word, is probably a little more organized than Chaparral.
So is it totally just not worth it for me to go out on a limb here and pick Chaparral? I kind of feel like I have to after I said Coronado's going to win one game.
You'd have more luck going out on a limb to pick UNLV to win the BCS title, even though they've lost once.
All right, well, I guess I got to go Coronado, but not all that happy about it. I think Chaparral has a chance here. We'll go to Desert Oasis and Foothill. Two really good teams, two teams that finished second in their division last year. It's at Desert Oasis, just coming off a tough game with Gorman, and Foothill's 2-0.
Foothill's an impressive 2-0, and I just can't pick against them. I know Desert Oasis returned a lot of players, but I think their psyche's probably hurt a little bit after being destroyed by Gorman. And I always say that when you lose big to a team like Gorman or Palo, who always makes deep playoff runs, that you kind of realize that the season's going to end at a certain time and that you're not going to smack somebody in the mouth and that you're not going to get a ring on your finger from Jostens. And that might have happened last week for Desert Oasis. It's going to take a major job by their coach to get them mentally ready, and I think Foothill is just going to storm them. And let's give Foothill some credit, dude. Kyle Keplinger's great. The quarterback is sophomore Drew Dockster.
Doc Stater,
who I probably said his name wrong on TV the other night, six touchdowns in his first two games. I think Foothill's good, and I think they win this game just because of that.
I really like Foothill. They're a lot better than both of us thought they were. We're going to talk about all the Southeast games, but just in general, I think this is going to be such a fun division to watch. I think maybe, like we said, maybe the Northwest is better this year. But I legitimately think there's four teams right now that you can make an argument for the best in the Southeast.
Yeah,
would you call me crazy?
Crazy.
Okay, Del Sol, obviously you can make an argument that it's the best.
Really?
Because you do.
Are you going to finally give Del Sol some respect?
You can make an argument they're the best, but at the same time, they were only up by one to Rancho at halftime. Rancho outgained them, and look what Basic did to Rancho. You can make an argument for Basic.
No way.
You can make an argument for Liberty, because Liberty won last year, and you can make an argument for Foothill. So I think there's four teams you can make an argument for.
Well, and you can't make an argument for Silverado?
No way. I'm not making an argument for a team that lost to Bonanza.
So Basic beat Silverado?
I told you on the opening week podcast that Basic could beat Silverado.
So we're doing like five on each of these games, right? I could be up like $40 by the end of the year.
Yeah, let's do five on Basic Silverado. I'll do 10 on the
straight
Wolves.
Straight up.
I'll do 10 on the Wolves.
I'll take the Skyhawks.
All right, all
10
right.
$10.
We'll see.
Okay.
When is that game?
Who knows? Yeah. You better go get a loan.
All right,
baby.
So just so we remember, I've got Liberty over Del Sol and Basic over Silverado.
Straight up.
Both
five
of those
bucks
two.
Each.
$5 each.
Okay,
there you go.
There we go.
All right, we'll get to Green Valley and Boulder City. Boulder City lost a close one last week. Green Valley lost a close one in their first one. Who improves here?
Listen, Green Valley put up 49 points and still lost in its first game. So that defense, something's wrong. We already know Boulder City is going to be able to – has got a pretty good running attack. So I think Boulder City is going to definitely give them a run for the money. I just don't – I just think that Green Valley has better athletes, and the key of this spread is to get your athletes in space, and I think Green Valley is going to be able to do that. They need a win for confidence. Despite the defense, I give them a victory.
I'm going to go with Green Valley, too. I think they're going to be able to score enough to win. I agree with your thoughts on that game. El Dorado and Del Sol, this one seems pretty cut and dry. I think Del Sol is going to win this one easily.
I agree with you. First time you've picked Del Sol in 3 years.
That's not true.
You're such a hater.
No, last year I loved Del Sol. I think I picked him more than you did. I just think this team hasn't proven as much as you act like they've proven.
Chris Marshall, that's all.
Okay, they have the best player in the division. I agree. Chris Marshall.
There you go. Did you hear that, everybody?
They have the best player in the division.
Capellis, did you hear that? He finally admitted it.
They have the best player in the division.
Amen, hallelujah.
But they also struggled with a Rancho team that Basic destroyed.
It was a lucky onside kick. Rancho got some penalties, like a fumble through the end zone.
I know I've mentioned this three times, and maybe Ed Houth is misleading me, but he types in our stats. He told me Rancho had more yards than Del Sol. So how is it a fluke that Del Sol won?
Because
Rancho had more yards.
Returning kicks and stuff. When you got Chris Marshall putting the ball in the red zone every time, how are you going to have more yards?
That's a good point. Ah. I still like the field. I don't like Del Sol to finish first in the Southeast. Right. I'll take one of the other three teams. Another team you're extremely high on, Valley and Silverado.
I wouldn't say I'm high on Silverado, but I know the Valley's not that good.
I agree. I'm going Silverado here. Moapa and Sunrise Mountain.
Shouldn't even play the game. It's embarrassment. I don't want anybody to get hurt.
Yeah, we got to go Moapa, and I guess that does it. That's our last game. Thanks for listening.
Ready.
We'll be back next week.
I believe.